Today, we'll talk about the dead end of atheism with you. Perhaps many of them do not realize it, they don't think about it. You'll be shocked when you see it, and you'll say, I have atheist friends around me, let me tell them about it. They even admit it themselves. They say, yes, there is such a thing. It is something that we don't want to talk about when we are talking among ourselves, and it demoralizes us when it is brought up. I have a claim. I say that a disbeliever cannot say, I have a purpose, a goal to reach in my life. He cannot say it. Maybe you'll say, no, brother, they say it. You'll see now. Our life has a purpose. What is it? Gaining Allah's pleasure. Going to heaven, right? Not going to hell. To be a good Muslim who represents Islam well. But when an atheist tries to say, this is the purpose of my life, immediately a slap comes. He actually slaps himself. Now, take a look at this man. This man is not alive now. He made a video called The 97-Year-Old Philosopher, His View of Death. I took this photo from the video. This uncle recorded this video at the age of 97. He's an atheist philosopher. He tells about his life. He questions life and death. By the way, what do atheists believe will happen after death? They believe that they will perish, cease to exist. It is such a difficult psychology that it can drive a man crazy. Shall I tell you the story of this uncle? In the video, he explains that he is 97 years old and has taught in the philosophy department at a university for 40 years. He says, I wrote a book about death 20 years ago, and I said, death is nothing to be afraid of. Why are you afraid? I said, we will die and perish. And I was not afraid at all. I was brave. But now I'm close to death, and it turns out that what I told 20 years ago is not the case. He also says, my wife passed away 7 years ago. We lived together for 70 years. Brother, they lived in the same house for 70 years. Where does he believe his wife went? To non-existence. She doesn't exist at all now. In his mind, he thinks that he will never see her, ever. Just think of that psychology. It can destroy that person in this world. He continues, when I lost her 7 years ago, half of my life was gone. I was with her when she died. He says that he embraced her in her last moments. Then he says, it was a very difficult experience. And he starts crying. The purpose of me telling this story is to describe an atheist view of death. Then he goes on to say, I wonder if life has a meaning. I mean, I ask myself, is there a purpose, a goal? Then he says, I think that's a stupid question. We actually asked this to atheists in a street interview. We asked, what is the purpose of life? What answers do you think they gave? To be a good person. It is such an empty statement for them. My friend, I must have misunderstood you. You believe that your existence will end after you die. What does it matter if you're a good person? You will disappear, and the good deeds you leave behind will also disappear. The people for whom you did those good deeds will disappear too. There is no motivation. Now, consider the thoughts of an atheist. What do you want to do? I'd like to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, but you believe that you will eventually disappear. Every time you tell him this reality, it's as if he gets slapped across the face, and suddenly life has no purpose for him. You will also disappear according to you. Of course, he will not disappear according to us. The good deeds you mentioned will also disappear. And look, guys, think about these people's psychology. Your loved ones will also disappear. You look at your mother, and then she dies. You will never see her again. Gone, forever. You look into your child's eyes, then death comes. Finished. You will never see each other again. Everything, everyone slips out of your hands. An atheist came here the other day. Look, it's really interesting. He said, I have my mom, dad, and siblings. I'm very distant from them. I try not to love them. Why? He says, because they will disappear after they die. I keep my distance from them because if I love them too much, I will suffer a lot. I try not to love them. My friend, is this life? It doesn't allow you to love your father. It doesn't allow you to love your brother. It's a life like hell while you're in this world. If I said, we will hang you on the gallows in 10 minutes, then if I put all kinds of delicious food in front of you, could you eat them or how much could you enjoy them? Similarly, no matter what you live in this life, death multiplies them all by zero. For example, I looked up some philosophers, and do you know how they explain this issue to children? A child loses his mother and asks, what happened to my mother? They say to the child, your mother is gone. She doesn't exist anymore. How? They give an example like this. You know how when a towel gets dirty, we remove it and hang a new towel instead? That is how the world goes. Your mother came and went. Now there is someone else. Then they talk about pedagogy. You have devastated that child now. You have buried him alive. How can that child live? You have ruined his life. Do you know what the situation of atheists looks like? Imagine a ship that has started to sink. Everyone is asking each other, what are we going to do? They're running around left and right. There's only one purpose there. What is it? Let's jump in the lifeboats and try to survive. Will anyone there come and say, guys, the ship is sinking, I know, but let's have a barbecue. There's a lot of meat. Let's not waste them. No, that is exactly how our life is. We have death ahead of us. We will all be under the ground in 100 years. If there is a cure, it must be the greatest goal of man, right? The Quran gives the good good news of the hereafter, informing that this need will be met. Now, take a good look at this paradox. That's the key point. There are two paths in front of the atheist. If he is right, of course we don't believe such a thing, what will be his end? He'll perish. If he isn't right, I mean, Islam is actually the truth and Allah exists, he will end up in the hellfire because he's a disbeliever. There's a very bad ending whether he turns out to be right or wrong. There is no third option. For example, do you know that some atheist philosophers praised right? So they said, this life has no meaning anyway. We are here for nothing and we'll perish. On top of that, life is full of misery and suffering. Then why should I live? To suffer more? So suicide is a logical thing to do. They praised right? And some of them actually killed themselves. You know, sometimes we come across some atheists walking around with such confidence. Dude, you cannot be cool. First option, you're miserable. Second option, you're miserable. The third option doesn't exist. You can't be cool. You have no motivation. Your life has no purpose. You should sit and cry. A life is meaningless if it is not for Allah. That's why they want to numb themselves. Numbing doesn't occur only through drugs or alcohol. Sometimes they delude themselves with entertainment and sometimes with haram pleasures. In fact, I read a research stating many people who say, I'm an atheist, begin to believe in something when they get old. The death of people around them shakes them, wakes them up from drunkenness. When they come to their senses, they begin to study religion in the real sense. That's what life's like, brothers. You bought a Ferrari, you bought a house beside the Bosphorus with a sea view, you bought a new phone, the latest model iPhone, etc. But death comes and says, come here, let me put a times zero next to it. It's equal to zero now. This is not the case only for atheists, but also for Muslims if they don't live their lives for gaining the pleasure of Allah. I mean Allah, Quran, Salah, fasting, he doesn't care about anything. He lives in sins. Death will come and say, multiplied by zero equals zero. Isn't it demoralizing, brother? But look, we are here, we have the things we did for Allah. If our brothers and sisters are watching this video, we are getting rewards right now. Is it multiplied by zero? No, it is multiplied by one, sometimes even 10, sometimes 100, and sometimes 1,000. On Laylatul Qadr, multiplied by 30,000. Sometimes the nafs of a person inclines to the world too much. What about religion, belief? Okay, brother, we will get into that mode when we get older. When you say, let me hang out for now, have fun, live my life here and there, live my youth, go out with girls, drink alcohol, this is time zero equals zero. Never forget that. Now, we will do something like this. Suppose we were all given a sheet of paper, okay? And I came here as your school principal. I say, I'm going to give you a test. It will be an easy test. In the end, if you pass the test, whatever you want for the rest of your life will be given to you immediately. What do you want? I want a Ferrari. Here it is. Whatever you want will be given to you. But if you cannot pass, you will suffer. We will hurt you. You seem a little scared when I said this. But here's the thing, it's a very easy test. Counselors will be walking around during the exam. You can ask any question you want and get the answer. They know the answers. You got it, right? Cheating is free. You can use your mobile phone. You can put the books in front of you. There's only one detail. There will be some toys on the table during the test. Children's toys. And don't delay answering the questions. Start right away. Because they can take the test sheet from you at any moment. There's enough time, but you are reminded of it so that you don't get too distracted by those toys. Right now, you want to take that test, right? You say, brother, it's great. I will have whatever I want for the rest of my life. I will live a wonderful life. I accept it. What if I tell you now, in fact, we are already in such a test? Is this world a test? Yes. Rewards, sins, heaven, hell. Is it an easy test? Brother, there are guides, teachers, there are prophets, there are awliya, and there are scholars. Sometimes a question comes to your mind about religion. You go on the internet and ask from reliable sources, what is the answer to this? It comes right in front of you. It's free to cheat. There's the Quran. You can look at it. Okay, what's the problem then? Brother, why can't we earn this paradise then? What was on the table, guys? Toys. Do you know what those toys are? You indulge in the world so much that you open Netflix and you watch seasons after seasons of series. You log into YouTube and find a lot of unnecessary, worthless stuff and sometimes haram stuff. Let's do this, let's do that. You busy yourself too much with those toys. You indulge in worldly things unnecessarily. I'm talking about you, brother, not somebody else. Take it personally. What was the second feature of the test? Your paper can be taken from you at any moment. You can die at any moment. The test can end anytime. That's how we fail. When we play with those toys obsessively, of course, we don't say, it's none of my business. I have nothing to do with prayer and religion. We say, I'll correct myself in the future. My life will change. Of course, I will pray one day. I love my Lord anyway. As you say this, they suddenly take your paper. They wrap you in a piece of white cloth. Then you say, how did I fail such an easy test? You say, silly me, you want to bang your head against the walls. You have understood the purpose of your life. You have understood your goal, but you're not walking towards it. One day, you will grow old and die. They'll put you in the grave. In 20, 30 years, nobody will visit your grave. You will be a person who is not remembered. Where's the value of a human being, brothers? It's with Allah. Allah values us. But if you don't value Him, when you become 80, you will look back, you have lived an empty life. Why did I live such a life? There is no consolation now. You will have thoughts like this. Or you will live such a life that you will say in the end, Alhamdulillah, I was going to get old anyway. I reached this age on the path of Allah, Alhamdulillah. I have lived my life fully. I have lived my life in accordance with this meaning. After I die, I will meet my Lord. There is a promised heaven in the hereafter. Inshallah, I will go to heaven, my original homeland. Look, brothers, this is it, the image you'll see. Look at it carefully. We are all going to experience this scene. Maybe you do not take it personally, but please do. The scene in which someone is holding a shovel and you're down in the grave. Everyone in this hall is definitely going to experience this scene. Shall we imagine? Brother, shall we put you in the grave today? Shall we? We are putting everyone in the grave today. We are burying all of you. You're wearing the white cloth, kafan, brother. Your loved ones took you and put you in the grave. They turned you to your right side. They put the wood planks on you. They are throwing soil on you right now. You had WhatsApp, remember? You had some chats. You wanted to keep them on your phone and never thought of deleting them. It was very difficult for you to even make room in the storage of your phone. Right now, that phone is no longer yours, nor is your WhatsApp account. Someone will come and take your phone. Probably your older brother, your uncle, someone you know. They'll talk among themselves as to who should use this phone now. A relative of yours will take the phone and turn it on. It will ask, restore? Are you sure? Yes, restore. He will delete everything that belonged to you. The things that are related to you are not relevant anymore. I have such good memories. I have photos that I can't delete. What are you doing? You're gone, brother. You are not on the earth. You are under it now. None of this means anything anymore. Shall I tell you the saddest thing, brother? When people want to make room on their phones, they'll come to your name and number and, shall I delete it? They'll say, delete. When they see you on the contact list, they will say, what if I call? No one will answer. They will delete your number. They will slowly delete us from this world. Even if they do remember, it won't help much, will it? You had passwords, only you knew them, Instagram, etc. Last time you shared something from Italy. No posts are being posted on your Instagram account anymore. None. There's no activity. The most difficult thing is this. Your loved ones are entering your room. They're gonna pack up the room. It takes courage to do that. They enter your room. They open the door. You have a coffee cup that accompanied your lonely nights. They pick it up and put it in a bag. You had shoes, the ones you loved so much that you wore only on special days. Put them in the bag. You had a jacket, remember? It will warm someone else now. They will give everything that belonged to you to other people. What kind of a world is this, brother? I'm trying to explain how meaningless the world is when it is not for Allah. But if we repent, Allah's mercy is so vast. For example, let's say we have repented now. Allah wipes away all our sins instantly and we start a brand new life. Maybe there are some of you who say, brother, it's nice when I listen to you here, but when I leave here, things change. The devil messes with me. Shall I give you a formula that will solve this problem? It's a triple formula. There are three things that will change you. If you fix them, you'll be fixed too. First, pay attention to the books you read. Not unnecessary, useless, or harmful books, but positive and useful books. There are countless books in the world and you cannot read them all. Then you need to prioritize those you need the most, especially those that will save you in the hereafter. Second, pay attention to what you watch. Pay attention to what you watch on YouTube and other platforms because they are the things that affect you, right? Books affect a person, so do videos. What else? Friends affect you. Third, pay attention to your friends. If you do a friend cleanup around you, i.e. the friends who invite you to the path of the devil, if you can change them, you will be inevitably positively affected because you have made all three influencing factors positive. In other words, good friends will invite you to good and useful deeds. This is my advice. It's like going with the current. Suppose that the current goes to heaven. When you let yourself go because your friend circle has changed, that current will take you to heaven. So even if you want to go astray, your friends won't let you get corrupt. I found a new girlfriend. Your friends will say, "What are you doing, brother?" On the other hand, there are currents flowing to hell. Currents that are made up of friends who, when you do a good deed, say, "What are you doing?" Or when you commit a sin, say, "What was that old state of you anyway? You didn't even have a girlfriend. You weren't a man." And they are going to hell with that current at full speed. You can't save yourself when you're with such bad friends. Finally, let's read the hadith and finish this. The Prophet ﷺ has a hadith about you. Did you know that? It's about you. My brothers and sisters who are watching this video, there is a hadith about you. The Prophet ﷺ said, "If only I could see my brothers coming towards me to the pool and welcome them with bowls filled with sweet juices. Before entering paradise, if only I could offer them from my pool of Kawthar." The companion said, "O Messenger of Allah, are we not your brothers?" He replied, "You're my companions." and my brothers are those who believe in me without seeing me. Surely I asked my Lord to illuminate my eyes with you and the believers who believe without seeing me. Allahu Akbar. I've got goosebumps. My brothers are those who believe in me without seeing me. He calls you my brothers. Does an illegitimate life suit you then? What are you going to say? In other words, when I have a prophet ﷺ who calls me my brother and loves me very much, it's not befitting for me to live a life without prayers, on wrong paths, with silly whims and without a purpose. He calls you my brother, but you are not like a brother at all. Does it suit you? It doesn't, does it? May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us to live in a way worthy of that brotherhood. May He allow us to go heaven, to open our hands to our Prophet ﷺ and say to him, O Messenger of Allah, you said I have brothers who believe in me without seeing me. Here I come. Give me from that drink before entering heaven. Let me give you a hug, O Messenger of Allah. May Allah allow us to live that moment in reality. Ameen.